Our first scripture reading today is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 13, verses 14 through 16, chapter 33. Hear now this reading from the Old Testament. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness.
So our next reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. Be reading from the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 35 through 36. All of this may sound strangely familiar from a couple of weeks ago, but we'll talk about that in just a minute as well. Let us listen to the words from Luke chapter 21. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And then he told them a parable. Look at the fig trees and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon you, all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. For the Word in Scripture, for the Word in creation, and for the Word within us, thanks be to God. As I said, it was only 2 weeks ago that I preached last, and the gospel text that Sunday came from the 13th chapter of Mark, which is also known as the Little Apocalypse. And if you'll recall, I spoke then of how these stories about end times in the Bible are actually stories about hope in the future by living and loving fully in the present. And that Mark text ended with the language and imagery of birth pangs, foreshadowing new life and hope. So even 2 weeks ago, we had imagery and foreshadowing language of birth and new life. Now today, the first Sunday of Advent, which Kathy has already told us this morning, is also the first Sunday of the liturgical year. It is New Year's Day in the life of the church. Also, in preaching circles, today is known as Apocalyptic Sunday. Because every year in the lectionary, we read one of the apocalyptic passages attributed to Jesus on this first Sunday of Advent. Now, I have always thought this juxtaposition rather odd. I mean, beginning a new year by talking about end times. However, like many oddities of life, if we ponder them enough, they begin to make sense, or if not make sense, at least give us a wider, clearer glimpse of reality. I thought that in a way, it's sort of the way we practice New Year's Eve later on in the month of December. We celebrate the coming of the new year by talking about what happened in the previous year. And the church celebrates its new year by talking about the end times. In the first of today's two scripture readings, Jeremiah tells the exiled and occupied people of Israel that new days are coming, that promises of justice and peace will be fulfilled even though they are in exile and Jerusalem is occupied by Babylonians. And in the second reading, Jesus tells his disciples, also living in oppressive occupation under the Roman Empire, he tells them that their present experience is but a sign of hope of redemption drawing near. In this apocalyptic text, Jesus says that the signs around them are signs that the kingdom of God is near. And many biblical language scholars say that this language about the kingdom of God being near means that it is already here for us to experience. But both of these stories are grounded in the stark realities of their particular historic context and circumstance, which is, I think, a reminder to all of us to do the same. Both of these texts call us to take stock of present reality in order to gratefully appreciate our past and hopefully envision the future. But we can only do those two things by living fully in the present. Jesus' parable of the fig tree reminds us that there are cycles and seasons in life. Both the hard times and the good times come and go like leaves on a tree. There are seasons of fruit and bounty. There are seasons of barren scarcity. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But like the eternal rotation of the earth, as this passage talks about the moon and the sun and the tides, like this eternal rotation of the earth in the light of the sun, our experience of life is grounded in wholeness. 2 weeks ago, when I preached on that passage from Mark, I told you about a terrible, no good, rotten day that I had experienced, which ended up paling in comparison to the even worse day and week for many people in Paris and Japan and Beirut and Baghdad. And today, 2 weeks later, I'm coming off one of the best weeks in my memory. A week spent relaxing with my entire family while celebrating 40 years of marriage and Thanksgiving, which, by the way, has had its ups and downs and cycles. You can't be married 40 years without those. But I share this because we take life in its fullness. This past Thursday was the unofficial beginning of the holiday season. Jeff shared with the children some of the ways we begin this season. But over the next weeks, there will be, for all of us, there will be many parties and dinners and musical programs and family gatherings and public celebrations. But here in the church, we celebrate Advent, not as an alternative to all of those things. I want to say today that I am not anti-Christmas the way we celebrate it. I love the celebration of the season as much as anybody else. But in the church, we celebrate Advent to remind us that celebration is but one season of our whole human experience. Advent calls us into fullness. It calls us into wholeness of life. We can't celebrate new life without the anxiety, the anticipation of pregnancy, or the pain of birth. Fruit trees must be dormant for a season if they are to produce. Fields need a fallow time in order to restore nutrients. Tides rise in order to fall. And I can think of no better words for this than the words of the preacher from Ecclesiastes. I never thought of this as an Advent passage until pondering these texts today. But these beautiful words from Ecclesiastes tell us, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence. And a time to speak. And a time to love. And a time to hate. And a time for war, and a time for peace. And the preacher of Ecclesiastes goes on to say, God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, God has put a a sense of past and future into our minds, yet we cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. And we know that there is nothing better than for us to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we live. It is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all our toil. And whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before God. That which is already has been. That which is to be already is. And God seeks out what has gone by. And so it is, on this first Sunday of Advent, we talk of end times in the beginning of a new year to celebrate the fullness of life. Amen. My friends, there's this great irony in the season we begin today, and that is we wait for one who has already come. And today we are reminded in this apocalyptic text, in this prophetic text, that the beginning is always the end, and the end is always the beginning. That Jesus comes to us and is already here. So let us go into this Advent season knowing that what we celebrate is the presence of Christ already in our lives. And we go into the world sharing that hope. Because hope is not about the future. Hope is about the present. Here and now. God with us. Emmanuel. Go in hope. Amen.